Well, good morning, church. Welcome to Lake Hills. It's great to see everybody this morning. Hopefully, everybody had a very fun and safe 4th of July weekend. Hopefully, everybody's still got all 10 of their fingers. All right, this is a great indication of a successful 4th of July, but I hope you had a great time. If I haven't gotten a chance to meet you, my name is Derek. I am the worship pastor here at Lake Hills, and so a little bit of a different perspective for me here this morning, but honored to be given the opportunity to talk about something that I would be willing to bet that all of us probably at one point or another have either struggled with or had questions about or maybe wondered whether or not we were doing it wrong, and that is the subject of hearing from God. Hearing from God. And so this morning, we are going to start a brand new series called Voice Recognition, where we're talking about that. We're talking about how God speaks, what his voice sounds like, how we can position ourselves to listen, what to do in the seasons of life where we feel like we can't hear from God. We're going to dive into a lot of that here this morning. But to illustrate the point of, I think, this being something that all of us have struggled with from time to time, I want to ask a couple questions. And question number one is this: how many of you have ever prayed to God for something and genuinely expected to hear an answer? Anybody? Yeah, I think this is most of us in the room here. So if you answered yes to that question, the follow-up question is this: in those prayers and in that process, how many of you have ever felt unsure on whether God heard you or unsure on the response that you got back, if you even got a response? How many would say you were unsure on that? Yeah, this is a lot of us. I think even if you've been following Jesus for a short amount of time, this is a subject that a lot of people ask about: how do we hear from God? And so we're going to dive into that together this morning. I want to start with a scripture that really could be the foundation scripture for the rest of this series. It's in the book of John, chapter 10. And what's happening here is Jesus is telling a story where he's talking about the difference between his followers and those who are not followers. And he uses this analogy of a shepherd and sheep. And he says that he is the shepherd. The sheep are going to represent his followers. He says this in verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. This is a very short verse, but immediately we see really quickly three things. We see listen, know, and follow. And basically what Jesus is saying here is if you want to be a follower of mine, and I think most of us would, you know, acknowledge that we want to be followers of Jesus, he says you got to know me first. And in order to know me, it starts with listening, or the hearing of God's word. So listen, know, and follow. That those are the primary characteristics of Jesus. And yet, I think all of us would say that's a lot easier said than done, right? It's a lot easier to read about hearing from God than it is to actually experience it. And to illustrate this point, I want to do a little exercise together, a little bit of a game. I like to do this when I speak. Helps kind of just pull out some information in a really fun way. This is going to be really simple to do. You may have even seen this online or on social media. It's called the Logo Challenge. Has anybody played the Logo Challenge before? Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to put on the screen two logos of the same company, and all you have to do is decide which logo is real and which logo is fake, right? Does that make sense? Everybody tracking with me? Ready to play? All right, let's take a look at the first company here, Netflix, something I think we have all seen a time or two. So decide which logo, left or right, that you think is the real logo. We're not going to give you a ton of time here. We got quite a few of these to go through. Go ahead and lock your answer in. Maybe tell the person next to you which one's the real logo. And let's go ahead and reveal here. Yes, the one on the right, right? You got the arc that's going this way instead of the smile, right? Netflix. All right, let's move on to the next one. Another one that most of you probably see every day. Maybe your wife sees every day. Amazon. Amazon. Which one is the real logo here? I'll give you a couple seconds to think about this. Go ahead and lock your answers in. And let's go ahead and reveal. Yep, the one on the right. Hey, I'm going to give you a helpful trick for this one, right? This one here, the arrow goes from A to Z. You can literally get anything from A to Z on Amazon. Helpful trick. Guys, you're learning something this morning. This is great. All right, let's move on to one that I got wrong every single time I looked at it, Oreo. This one may be a little bit tougher. We're going to move in complexity a little bit as we go through. Look at this. Think which one you feel like is the correct logo. Lock your answers in. Let's go ahead and reveal here. One on the left. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but the one on the right always looks right to me, and I can't figure out why. Okay, we got a few more left. Let's move on. Instagram. No cheating, no pulling your phones out here. Saw somebody do it over here. Which one is the correct logo? Instagram. Go ahead and lock your answers in. And let's reveal. Yes, upper right-hand corner is the little dot. Instagram. Everybody still doing okay? We feeling okay about ourselves? We got three more left. All right, let's move on. Starbucks. Getting a little bit harder now, maybe. Starbucks. There is one key difference in these 2 points. Starbucks. Which one is it? Lock it in. Let's go ahead and reveal here. Yes, Starbucks does indeed have the star on the crown. Very smart marketing and logo. All right, a couple more. This one's going to be a little bit more difficult. Google Chrome. Which one is the correct logo for Google Chrome? Obviously, the colors are in a different orientation. Which one is correct? Go ahead and lock it in. And let's reveal here. Yes, red is on top. There it is. All right, one more, and I need you guys not to cheat on this one. Eyes on the screen only. No looking around. No looking around. Which one is the correct Lake Hills Church logo? Talk about it. Think about it. Which one is it? Lock it in, and let's go ahead and reveal here the bottom. Yes, right? You got the little wave for lake, then you got hill, and then I guess the circle. If I'm thinking about it, I'm looking down on like a steeple or something, Lake Hills Church. Anyway, how'd everybody do? Okay, is there anybody that got them all right? Wow, okay, we got a few that got all of them right. I cannot say that because the dang Oreo one gets me every time. I don't know why. Well, guys, why don't you give yourselves a hand, especially those who got the answers right. That's incredible. Okay, let's talk about what the point of that was. Why did we do this exercise? Okay, in this logo challenge, what you are determining is real versus fake, right? And I think that a general truth would be the more exposure that you've had to the real logo, the easier it is to spot the fake, correct? If you go to Starbucks every single day, you probably got the Starbucks one right. If you eat Oreos every day, the Oreo one was probably super easy for you. But the flip side is also true, I think generally speaking, the less exposure that you've had to the real thing, the real logo, the harder it can be to spot the difference between the real and the fake. And I think the same thing is true when it comes to how we hear from God, right? The more experience that we have with the real thing, with God, with his voice, the easier it is to be able to discern the difference between his voice and the other voices of the world that we hear. And then conversely, the flip side is true, generally speaking. The less experience that we have with God and his voice, the harder it can be to discern the difference between the voices. And so I want to kind of take a look at our first header this morning. We're going to talk about the voices that we will commonly hear in the world, especially when you're praying or when you're trying to make a certain decision. I believe there are generally four voices that we're going to go through, and then obviously four voices that you'll have to discern between and trying to figure out, is this God or is this something else? And I want to look at the first one this morning as we jump in. This is the one that we are aspiring for. Number one, God's voice. One of the voices that we can hear and the one that we are wanting to hear the most is God's voice. We're going to give you a couple characteristics of all of these voices to help differentiate the four. God's voice is going to speak life, hope, and purpose. God's voice may convict, but it never condemns. And we're going to spend a little bit of time a little later on looking at the difference between convict and condemn. But this is a big one with God's voice. God's voice always agrees with Scripture. And I would add to this point, it always lines up with the character and nature of God. So if you're trying to make a decision and you feel like God is leading you to do something, but it doesn't line up with Scripture, newsflash, it ain't His voice, right? God's voice always lines up and agrees with Scripture. And then lastly, God's voice always brings peace. And I think that's probably the biggest indicator or component of God's voice is that you will feel, when God is speaking to you, a sense of peace about what is being said. Listen, even if it's not the answer that you were hoping for, or not the answer that you are wanting, peace is what you're going to feel if this is God speaking to you. Now, unfortunately, there are other voices in the world that try to get in the way. We're going to look at a couple of those this morning. Number two, another voice that you can hear sometimes, Satan's voice. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so that's a characteristic of Satan's voice. It's interesting that that verse is found in John chapter 10, the same verse that we looked at with Jesus and the shepherd and the sheep. And so in one passage, we see differing voices that happen here. But Satan's voice is going to bring shame, condemnation. It's going to bring negative thoughts. And then the big one for Satan's voice is that it's going to contradict Scripture. Satan's voice will contradict Scripture. And yet, listen to this, it's often not done in a blatant way, right? Think about the logo challenge that we just did. Yeah, there was maybe one or two of those that were blatantly obvious what the correct one was, but most of them, it was just a small twist or alteration to the original that makes you think, man, I've seen this logo 1,000 times, and now when I see two of them together, I'm not sure which one it is. Satan's voice does the same thing. Small twists, small differences to Scripture that makes you question, man, did God really say that? Or if He said that, did He really mean that? That's what Satan's voice does, and so it's important to be able to know the difference between the two. Another voice that we will often hear, number three, other people's voices. This can be in the form of a mentor, or maybe somebody that you look up to. Parents can sometimes be this for us. Sometimes friends just want to weigh in on certain situations of life that you walk through. And the tricky thing about other people's voices is they can be positive or negative. On the positive side of things, Jesus can and will sometimes use other people to speak to you, to speak truth to you. And yet most of the time when this happens, those people are going to be godly people. They're going to be full of wisdom and discernment. And listen, everything that they say, if it really is God speaking to you through them, is going to line up with the characteristics of God's voice. It's going to speak life and hope and purpose. It's going to line up with Scripture. It's going to bring peace. That's the positive side of things. Now, the negative side of things with other people is that Satan will also use other people to speak to you. I think a great example of this is culture, right? Think about culture. Culture, we hear the voice of culture every single day. And so much of the voice of culture is wrapped up in what is, quote, right for the world or right in the eyes of the world rather than what is right in the eyes of Jesus. And man, the Bible has so much to say about Christians living countercultural, right? The Bible calls this set apart. I spent maybe 5 minutes looking for some verses on this. We don't have time to dive into them today. There were over 50 verses on God talking about what it looks like to live differently than the rest of the world, against culture. And much like Satan's voice, because I believe that Satan's voice is the leading voice on culture, culture will often twist and contort just a little bit of that Scripture to where you say, again, did God really say that? Did God really mean that? And again, it's an important reason why we've got to be able to discern the voice of God for ourselves, because the Bible calls us to live different than the rest of culture. So you got to be really careful when you listen to other people, weighing that against, does this sound like the characteristics of God's voice or is this something else? And then I think the last voice that we will often hear is your own voice. When you're trying to make a decision or maybe pray about something, sometimes you will hear your own voice. And your own voice is going to use reason and logic. It's going to try to assess and process information to draw conclusions. Your voice oftentimes will be biased toward your own desires. So that means if you are praying about something and you want a specific answer to that prayer, oftentimes your own voice is going to tell you what you want to hear, which is a really dangerous thing when you're trying to hear the voice of God, and it can be hard. I think the trickiest thing about our voice is Our voice is the thing that we're the most comfortable with. We know it. It's the most familiar. It sounds right. And so I think sometimes we can trick ourselves into thinking, man, what I'm hearing is from God, and yet it can be our own voice. I think the biggest indicator in the difference between those two, again, is the peace component from number one. God's voice is always going to bring peace. What does our own voice bring? Most of the time, it's going to bring anxiety, stress, worry, striving. And so if you're making a decision and you don't have peace in what you're hearing, chances are it's not God's voice. It could be your own. And so those are the main four voices that I feel like we hear. And so if that's the case, well, then let's dive into number one, God's voice. How do we hear what God is speaking? How does he speak to us? And I want to give you a list. We're going to go through these pretty quickly. I think five main ways that God speaks to us. This is not an exhaustive list. In the Old Testament, you know, God used a donkey to speak to somebody, like out loud, audibly, right? God can speak how and when he wants to, and yet most of us are probably not going to be hearing from too many donkeys this week. So we're going to look at most of the common ways that God speaks to us. Starting with number one, this is an easy one, the Bible. God speaks through the Bible. We talked about this already a little bit, that God's voice always lines up with Scripture because Scripture is God's voice. Scripture is God's voice to us. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So go back to the analogy of the shepherd and the sheep. This verse that we read in 2 Timothy, what it's doing is it's teaching us how to be sheep. It's teaching us how to be followers of Jesus, and what it's saying to do is listen to the Bible and do what it says. It's as simple as that. Listen to the Bible and do what it says. I believe that the Bible is probably the easiest and also probably the most primary way that God speaks to us. So we got to be in the Word. We got to know our Bible, listening to this voice that he is speaking through it. Another way that God speaks to us, number two, is through prayer. This is direct conversation with him. Now, this is one of the probably more difficult ways out of all of them to battle those voices that we talked about, right? Because when you're praying, you are talking to God, but you're also listening for a response. And it can be really hard in those moments of listening to be able to discern those voices where you think, man, is this God speaking? Is this my own voice? Is this something I've heard from somebody else? And so, you know, for me, honestly, if I'm being transparent with everybody, this one's a harder one for me to do, to make the time consistently to pray, but more than that, to listen, right? We're not good at listening. In this world, in how we rest and how we, you know, reflect, you got to give yourself time to listen to what God is saying in response. Jesus often did this. He withdrew many times. This is one of the examples that we see Jesus primarily display of how he hears from the Father, is listening in prayer. And the Bible says that when we ask, he will answer. It says that he listens when we pray, and yet the problem oftentimes is not that God isn't speaking. Most of the time, it's just that we're not listening very well. And so I'm sure we'll spend a lot more time in this series talking about how to position ourselves to listen well. But God speaks through prayer. A few of the other ways, number three, we already talked a little bit about this. God can speak through other people. Again, remembering that those people are going to be godly, full of wisdom, and again, what they say is going to line up with the characteristics of God's voice. One of those people that God can use to speak to us can oftentimes be a spouse. Anybody here ever heard from God via their spouse before? Oftentimes with the voice of conviction, right? I got to be careful. My spouse is in here, so I may stop right there. It's a little bit funny, but it's also true. There's truth in that. God will oftentimes use a spouse to point out some areas, some blind spots that you might have, some areas that he wants to maybe push in on and change a little bit. Now, hopefully, it's done in a very loving way that is for you, but you got to be willing to listen and then take what they say, line it up against Scripture, line it up against the character and nature of God, make sure that it's accurate, because this is one of the ways that God can speak to you, is through other people. Number four, God will often also speak to us through our own conviction. And I know we said we'd spend a little bit of time talking about the difference between conviction and condemnation. I'm sure you've heard of the phrase guilty conscience, right? Guilty conscience, you feel bad about something. Both conviction and condemnation can make you feel bad about something because what it's doing is it's pointing at something that you are doing wrong or you're in the wrong in. But here's the difference. The Bible says that God speaks with conviction and Satan speaks with condemnation. So we're going to look at this for a second. It's amazing to me how much of a difference one word can make in terms of the context of something. How many of you have ever sent a text message or maybe an email and autocorrect has gotten a hold of one of those words and just completely changed what you were trying to say? Right? Sometimes that happens and it turns into like a really bad deal. Sometimes it happens, it can be embarrassing. Sometimes it's just funny. But one word can often change the context of a complete message. And we're going to see the difference between conviction and condemnation using one word. We'll put this on the screen. Conviction is going to use the language because. And here's what I mean by this. For example, I might say, I shouldn't be doing this, whatever X, Y, or Z is, because. I shouldn't be doing this because this is not what God has for me. I shouldn't be doing this because it might cause hurt and pain to myself or someone else. I shouldn't be doing this because God has a better plan, something better in store for me. That is the voice of conviction, where it's pointing at, I need to change something about what I'm doing because of the future. Condemnation, on the other hand, is going to add one little word in front of because. It's going to add the word and. Condemnation says and because. So for example, I might say, I shouldn't be doing this, and because I did, I am now not a good follower of Jesus. I shouldn't have done that, and because I did that, God could never love or forgive me for that. I shouldn't be doing that, and because I did, this is who I am now. Condemnation always is going to point to the past, and it's going to bring up guilt and shame, never to the future. God's voice uses the voice of conviction that speaks with hope toward the future, toward restoration. And here's the deal. Neither one of those things are comfortable. Conviction is not comfortable because it's pointing out sin. It's pointing out some wrongdoing. And yet, we've got to be willing to hear it because it is one of the ways that God speaks to us. And then lastly here in this section, number five, sometimes God speaks to us through just different life circumstances where he'll try to teach us things as we go through different seasons of life. Sometimes this can be in the form of hardship, right? When we walk through hardship, which is also not comfortable, by the way, but there is something that can be learned through it. I believe that we should never walk through a season of hardship without learning something about God or about ourselves or about just sin and a fallen world or about something that he wants to teach us through that. That doesn't mean that God always brings hardship to us, although sometimes he does. It just means that there is an opportunity to learn something in the hardship that we walk through. Sometimes some of those life experiences are just a simple rerouting where God will bring up something in your life that causes you to kind of change direction in an area. This can also be sometimes positive. Sometimes it can feel negative. Sometimes these course corrections, God might be saving you from something negative that you're about to walk into. Sometimes it might just be that he wants to bring something new or different to you. Which is why, you know, again, it's important for us to be able to hear God's voice so that we can follow some of these course corrections. But those are the common five ways I believe that God speaks to us. And so with the last few minutes that we have here this morning, I want to look at what to do in the seasons of life where maybe you don't hear God speak. You're going through all of those five examples and you're saying, man, I can't hear God speak in any of those. I think one of the best things to do, and the simplest things to do, is to figure out, well, if that's the case, then what's in the way? Remember, we said oftentimes it's not the fact that God isn't speaking, it's that we're not listening well. So ask the question, what's in the way? To contrast the five ways that God speaks, I want to give you five quick barriers to hearing from God, things that can get in the way from us hearing him. Number one is this, bad theology. Bad theology. This is not knowing the Bible. Right? If we said that the Bible is one of, if not the primary way that God speaks to us, then if we don't know the Bible, then it can be really hard to recognize what it is that he's saying when he does actually say it. And then also remember that Satan uses scripture as well to speak. We see a direct example of this in the testing of Jesus in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. But Satan again will twist and contort scripture. I want to do another quick exercise here real quick. I want you to finish this scripture. If you know what it is, you can just shout it out loud. The scripture is this. The scripture says, I can do all things through what? Yeah, the answer. Yeah, the answer is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me or gives me strength. That's the accurate answer to that scripture. And yet, here's a way that we're going to show you that many people, including Christians, walk through life observing the world and the Bible through. Put it up on the screen here. I can do all things through a verse taken out of context. Hey, this is on sale, by the way, so you can actually go online and buy this. This maybe would make a great Christmas gift for somebody if you think of somebody in your life. Anyway, it's amazing what people will try to justify with a verse taken out of context because either they don't know their Bible or they don't want to know what's in their Bible. And this is why, guys, Bible studies are so important, right? Not just hanging out, not just meeting for a group, not just talking about what we feel like the Bible says, but actually digging in, studying the Bible, weighing what you study against the character and nature of God, because if we don't have solid theology, it can be really tough to recognize when we read it what God is actually saying to us. Number two, the second barrier that we might have, a shallow relationship with God. This is not only not knowing our Bible, this is just not knowing him, right? Go back to the analogy of the sheep and the shepherd again. It says, they know his voice because they know the shepherd. So what does it mean to know God? I feel like this is a tough question to answer because our life's goal and our life's journey is to know God. And the Bible actually says that on this side of eternity, at least, we will never know the fullness of who he is. And yet, I think the simplest way that I can think to sum it up, to know God means to love what he loves and to hate what he hates. To love what he loves and to hate what he hates. If you know what somebody loves and what they hate, chances are you know them pretty well. And in order to do this, man, we've got to dive into scripture. We've got to look at our Bible. We've got to spend time in prayer. Again, remembering the more time that we spend with the real thing, the closer we get to him, the more that we know him, and the less that we know him, this can be a barrier to actually hearing from him. Number three, this is a tough one. This one's going to hit hard. Selfish motives. Selfish motives can be a barrier to hearing from God. Because here's the deal, guys. At the end of the day, you're going to hear what you want to hear. And if you don't really want to hear from God on a certain subject because you've already got your mind made up on what you think the answer to that should be, then it can be really, really difficult to hear from God. And the reason I know this is because he says this about his own people, the Israelites, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, which I'm going to read this morning. This is God speaking to Isaiah. He said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. You may have heard this scripture before, but basically what's happening here is God is telling Isaiah, hey, I have an assignment for you. I want you to go deliver my people a message. This message is for their good, but heads up, they're not going to listen to you. They are already so caught up in their own sin. They already have an idea of who they think I am and what I should do that they're not going to listen. I want you to still go, but they're not going to listen to you. Man, talk about a tough assignment for Isaiah. This is the guy that said, man, here I am. Go send me. I want to do something for you. God says, go tell them, but they're not going to listen. It's kind of like in parenting. I don't know if anybody else has had this happen to them, where you're talking to your kids and you're trying to give them maybe a piece of advice or some wisdom or maybe some instruction, and they're looking at you, maybe even nodding their head, their eyes are open, and they're hearing what you're saying, but you know they're not listening. They're not listening. Why is that? Why don't kids listen? It's because kids are selfish. Right? Kids do what they want to do when they want to do it, right? And here's the deal. We are selfish. We do what we want to do when we want to do it. And anytime we try to listen for God while having selfish motives, while having our mind made up saying, man, this is what he's going to say, this is what the answer is going to be, trying to listen to God through the filter of ourselves can always be a barrier to hearing from him. And the number four is this, disobedience. Disobedience. This is kind of similar to the last point, but man, it can be hard to hear from God when you haven't done the thing that he's already spoken to you about, right? One of the best things I think that we can do as followers of Jesus when we feel like we are not hearing from God is to ask the question, well, what's the last thing I heard him say to me? And have I done that? What's the last step that he's given me to take? And have I taken that? Because the reality is, he's not going to move on to something else when we've chosen not to listen to what he has already given us. And many times we will say, man, I can't hear from God. I feel like God's not speaking to me, while we are ignoring the one thing that he has spoken to us, which most of the time is the one thing that we don't want to do in the first place. And so you got to ask yourself, if you're not hearing from God, where's my obedience? Am I being obedient in the things that he's asked of me? And if we're not, that can also be a barrier. And the last thing we're going to land is this, the last barrier to hearing from God, misplaced priorities. Misplaced priorities. The Bible says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and then all the other things that we're worried about in this world. The Bible says those are going to get taken care of. And yet, how often do we as followers of Jesus seek first the things that we're worried about, the things that we're anxious about? And then if there's time left for Jesus, for God's kingdom, for his righteousness, then great. The Bible's saying that's not the answer. God wants your heart first. And if our priorities are in the wrong order, it can be a barrier for us to hear from him. So think about what your priorities are. Think about where you spend your time and your attention, where your affection goes, where your money goes. Think about those things of your life that are important to you, and then ask the question, are they in the right order? When they are in the right order, it can be easier to hear what God is speaking to us. And so I believe those are the five main barriers. Again, this is not an exhaustive list either. And hopefully some of this was helpful for you this morning, where we talked about the different voices in the world that we hear, how we hear God's voice, and then looking at, again, the barriers that can prevent us from hearing from him. But I want to end with something that I found really interesting in preparation for this message. I think oftentimes we will assume that God just speaks to Christians. Sometimes we'll assume that God speaks to only Christians that have their lives together. Sometimes we'll assume that God only speaks to the Christians when none of those barriers are present. And yet we don't see that in Scripture. We see story after story of God speaking to everybody, to people who know him, but also to people who don't. And I think that's a lot of hope for us. If you think back to a few weeks ago, to a great message that Bill Jones spoke. If you were here that week, he shared a video of a guy talking about the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross who didn't know Jesus. The thief on the cross who had terrible theology, probably didn't know anything. Most likely had selfish motives, living in disobedience. Obviously his priorities were in the wrong order because he was on the cross for sin. He was on the cross for breaking the law, and yet Jesus spoke to him. And that's where the hope for us, I feel like, comes in, especially if you're in this room and you're saying, man, I can't hear from God because I don't know God. The reality is, knowing God isn't a requirement to hearing from him. Knowing just helps. The fact is, God speaks even despite some of these barriers that we talked about. And what happens is, when you hear his voice, when you hear the voice of the shepherd and you choose to respond, the knowing comes later. Going back to the very beginning, he said, listen, know, follow. And the reality is, you can listen without knowing, but the invitation to know is still there. And so if you're here this morning and you would say, man, I don't know God, but I want to know God, this guy that we've been talking about all morning today, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. The Bible says there's only two things that you have to do to step into a relationship with him, to accept this free gift of salvation. You got to, one, believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he rose to life so you could step into this eternal relationship with him. And then two, confess with your mouth that he is Lord or leader or shepherd. And those are the only two things that you got to do. And so if you want to do that this morning, I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. Nobody's looking around. But if you want to pray that prayer, you can pray this after me. You can pray it quietly, but pray it to God where you would say, God, thank you so much for loving me enough to leave heaven, to step onto this earth, to die a sinner's death on the cross that I deserve to pay. I believe that you did that. I believe that you rose from the dead so that I could step into eternity with you. Today, I pray that you would help me to live every day the best that I know how as a follower of you. And with your head still bowed and eyes still closed, if you prayed that prayer, man, we are so excited about this. This is the best decision that you'll ever make in your life, and it's only the beginning. We want to help you in what comes next. We'll talk about that in a second. But also, there's something about a physical act that helps you remember this moment. And so if you prayed that prayer again, nobody's looking around, we want to ask you, just slip your hand up in the air and say, today, I made that decision to follow Jesus. If that was you, just slip your hand up. Say, I made that decision today to listen to the invitation that was extended. I want to know God. And we have a tradition around here, as you put your hands down, we're going to put our hands together and say, welcome home. Welcome home.